so fun.
It is so fun. So we are Sis. I'm Heather and this is Elfina, and we're honored and grateful to report live from Germany at the Hedone Seminar. If you're not familiar with Hedone, check it out. It's a sex positive event full of incredible art and ceremony and love and expansion, and we are welcoming Kaya on in just a few moments, who is a virtual dominatrix, and I'm so excited to talk to her. This woman is incredible. I see she just joined, so Kaya, just hit that plus sign at the bottom and we will get the conversation going.
Yay! And it's incredible that we get to be in the energies of this 1,000-year-old castle, where there's one of the most renovative and innovative sex-positive communities and events in the whole world happening for this conversation. Mm-hmm. And we're in our Isis room right now. Okay. To receive your codes.
I don't know why it does this. It's like she has to request a few times.
Oh no,
she's it's here. Working.
Yay!
Hi!
Hi!
Hey babe, you look beautiful.
Hello!
Yeah,
how's my connection? Really, is it okay?
Is there any way to turn up the volume here, babe? Let's see, it's a little bit low. Can you turn it up?
Yeah, on the side.
Okay, hold on. There we go. Hi!
Yes. Hello! Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, it's such an honor. Yeah, Kaya, Selfina, Elfina, this is Kaya. For those of you who are just joining, please meet Kaya, who is also referred to as Goddess, a professional virtual dominatrix, who you're really redefining the industry, and you've also found freedom in this space that has a tendency to be really deeply misunderstood. And I'm so excited to talk to you more about it. I know we've gotten the chance to dive into it, and the conversation has been illuminating. I cried, I laughed, I had an existential crisis. Like, all of this happened in the coffee shop in Berlin, which was amazing. And yeah, we're so honored to have you and to be here with you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. I'll never forget that time in Berlin because of the time that you and I shared together. That was
thank you. Honestly, I received that and it was the same, like divinely orchestrated to meet you. And we both happen to be from Connecticut, which is just wild to me. It's like the roots are connected to the frequency of where we are now. And anyway, it's just incredible. So
yeah.
Here, we made it. Yeah,
I know, it's felt like a long time coming. It's how long has it been? Maybe 4 weeks since we met.
It's
been a month,
to be honest, but it feels like it's just been a minute. I went actually took her to the same coffee shop that we went to, that you introduced me to, and I was like, oh, we sat over there, and I had like one of the most profound conversations of my life, and it felt like it had been a minute and also a lifetime, you know, like. Time is a dimension that doesn't really exist. I'd love to just dive in and just like start a conversation with you about what you're doing and how you got there. And yeah, anything that you want to share in regards to the space that you're in and the journey that took you there, I feel like will kind of get us going in the direction of.
Yeah. Cool. Well, this is all good timing because I actually just finished. I've been working all day today for the first time properly since that trip where I met you. I took a really long break because I can, because I have that freedom now, which I love, and just jump right back into it. So I'm a virtual dominatrix, which means I work online dominating mostly men for money. So, to put it simply, and I got into it because there was a time when I was delivering flowers and I was making maybe 200 bucks a week and it just wasn't cutting it in Australia. And a friend of mine who is a stripper back here in the US, she asked if I would ever try working as a dominatrix online. And I thought that that was crazy. Like, I never thought that I could do something like this. But I tried it. And because I'll try almost anything once, and I didn't think it would last this long, and so here I am, more than 2 years later, still doing it and loving it and learning and investing a lot into getting better at it. And yeah, it's an adventure. Wow. For sure, but it's been a really beneficial one, both financially and emotionally, just like. Yeah, I've gained a lot of freedom in my financial world and my, like, in my sensuality, my sexuality, and just my, I feel a lot more powerful.
I love that. What do you think of, it is about this work that allows you to feel so empowered?
So, I love that it's online. I know, like, 20 years ago, this wasn't possible, and my mentor, she's been doing this for like 25 plus years. So yeah, I'm really grateful that I can do this kind of work online, so I can ease into it, just feeling the safety of that barrier, and being able to, like, test the waters with things like boundaries. First of all, that's like the most important thing in kink, and having that be my work, I really have to develop strong boundaries. And that's something that I'm trying to work on my language. Up until this point, I've struggled with, and I'm now doing better and better every day. And yeah, so stuff like that. And I lost my train of thought.
What about the work makes you feel empowered? Like,
also about, like, my body and, you know, because as a woman, it's hard out here. So I have really learned to just not take anything personally when I'm working with somebody, because the way that it works is that people come into my chat room and they see me and they kind of decide whether or not they want to pursue like going into a paid chat with me. I'm trying to put this all as simply as possible. It's a lot to explain exactly what I do. But yeah, so there might be someone who comes in who doesn't like girls with natural Afro hair, or doesn't like slimmer girls, or doesn't like big boobs. And that's, you know, everybody's just got their preferences. And I've really learned to, like, not take any of it personally and just really love my body for the way it is. And whoever's meant to come in and appreciate and worship that and pay me for it, that's how it'll go. Just a lot. Just having the financial freedom, I mean, that it's big for me, to feel like I'm in control of how much I make, and in that process I'm still getting to be in control of the entire situation, like telling someone what to do in a way that is meant to please me, is like, that just feels really fun and powerful.
Wow. Yeah, what you were sharing with me, I mean, we exchanged so much, but something that really resonated with me was the amount of compassion that I assumed there wasn't compassion in this space because of how this is portrayed in the media. And like how you spoke about your clients and how you spoke about just the people that you worked with, like with such compassion and love and reverence, was really moving to me and really opening to me. And like started to like turn my gears. I'm like, I really want to do this, you know? Because I don't know, there was something that didn't like hit with me about just kind of like bossing someone around. It's like I desire to do something that's mutually pleasurable, right? It's like you're getting something out of it, I'm getting something out of it.
Yeah.
It's like that's why this industry exists, because it's like mutually beneficial. And each people, like each individual is feeling empowered and sovereign in their decisions and whatever those are. And that feels really good too. It's like, you're choosing to be here. You're choosing to come into my chat room. You're choosing to be a client of mine. It's like a choice. And it feels, that feels really liberating. And I just, yeah, I wonder, like, before you started this work, did you have your own ideas about the world? And like, did those shift dramatically as you got into it? Or like, do you feel like the idea that you had almost mirrored what you're experiencing now?
No, totally different from what I thought it would be. I mean, I, to be fair, didn't know anything about it when I dove into it. And it's like exactly what you said. It is mutually beneficial. I'm in, like, my head is in Dom mode right now because I was just working. So I'm like, I'm just thinking about, like, this one client I just had who was trying to make it, he's a bit of a brat, which is a thing in kink. Like, it can be fun to play with, but I personally don't like to play with brats.
Explain what that is, so really quickly. What is a brat exactly?
A brat would be somebody who doesn't
obey
my commands and puts up a fight and tries to, like, will, like, whine about things or complain. And yeah, for me, that's
so how do you manage a situation like that? Just sidetrack for a minute.
A lot of really intense eye contact. So right now when I'm talking, I'm looking at you guys on the screen, but doing it virtually, I'd be looking right into the camera. So I don't know if there's a difference if I'm looking at you.
Feel that.
So yeah, really, really intense eye contact, and a lot of it's a lot of it's verbal, because it's just, you can't have the impact play the same way as if you were in person. So just drilling into their head what they're going to do correctly. So every time they mess up, calling them out on it. Like if they're complaining,
I'm like zombie right now. I'm like, what if I'm a brat? I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, how would you do that? I don't want to, you can't make me do that. Like, I don't want to do it.
Well, the difference is it's a little bit of a difference with the way this guy does. I've never actually dealt with a brat like that, but to be honest, I think I would just sit there and just say, oh wait, we can sit here. I can't stay serious. He was looking at you, you're so cute.
And I'm so like, mean. I'm a mean brat.
I'm also used to dominating men, which for some reason is so much easier than dominating women. But anyways, so I don't want to take away from what your initial question was, but I don't know if you remember what it was.
Oh, your perception of the industry before and after getting into it and how it started. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I guess just kind of like what you see, like... I just would think of, like, maybe the goth kids when you're in school and, like, that whole look, like, everyone just looks like that. It's just all black, chains, dark makeup, and then getting into it, like, oh, I can wear pink if I want to, and I can, like, put on a little crown, and I can go completely makeup-free and just be in, like, my pajamas, and that's fine. So, like, the aesthetic of it was totally different. Also, yeah, the power dynamic, learning how much power the submissive actually has, and just the way that you play with that, and also the psychology behind it. And it's just a lot more complex than we think it is. It's not abusing somebody. It's hugely based around consent and boundaries and all of that. So, yeah. BDSM is not abuse. It's like adult play. All the things that you would have wanted to do that you couldn't do are just, you're able to do them in this world, as long as you're not, you know, hurting somebody in a way that's not consensual.
I'm so interested anything to hear goes. A little bit more about what you've been learning with the psychology of dominating.
So I've been learning from, her name's Mistress Damiana Chi, and she's based in Los Angeles, and she has a PhD in psychology and all this stuff, and she's been a dominatrix for, yeah, like 20, 25 years. And so I did her course, and I graduated a few months ago, and we basically learned about submissive psychology, like how different things affect submissives differently and how to navigate a lot of things that come up for them, because she calls us light workers who play in the dark, and I really love that because it's healing work, and that's something that I knew deep down that it was, but the way that I learned about working basically as a cam girl, a dominatrix on webcam, is a lot different to what I learned with Mistress Damiana. So I'm really glad that I found her in that regard and learned just like the emotional depth of it all. I don't know how else to put it, but and then we also have learned about the different like archetypes that make up the dominatrix archetype, and I think it's okay to say this because she speaks about this openly on her Instagram and all of that as well. So it's the queen, the mother, the seductress, and the authoritarian. So we just play with those different archetypes and develop each of them to become a well-rounded whole dominatrix archetype. So yeah, I don't know if you can kind of like get like use your imagination to kind of think of like what, you know, the mother archetype would be like, nurturing and all of that, but because you need all of that to be a good dominatrix, you need to be just pay close attention to how people are feeling and nurture whatever comes up and needs to be nurtured in a way that plays into the scene, because you're basically playing house, like how kids play house, but you're playing it as adults. You're playing, you know, you're making up this whole scene, you're giving characters and just setting the stage. And so improv comes in a lot with that, like we talked a lot about in Berlin, but I lost my train of thought again. The archetypes, yeah. So then the authoritarian would be the more, you know, the bossy, strict one. The seductress, the more sensual one, and the queen. The queen is like super important because you have to need to remember that you are above them in the play, in the scene, not, you know, just as people, like we said, the submissive has a lot more power than you kind of see in the play dynamic. But yeah, in that play dynamic, you have to have this air about you that is like, I'm untouchable, and you need to really earn being in my presence.
I honestly feel like these four archetypes can be integrated in like just the feminine experience in general. Right? Like there's some things to play with and just experiment with and like have fun with without any attachment. Mm-hmm. Like I talk to my girlfriends all the time about like wanting to go out at night, and like, I don't know if I talked to you about this, like going out and playing with energy dynamics and power dynamics and just going and like playing and asking questions that maybe I think I'm gonna get a no to, like something wild, like, can I borrow your car for an hour, like to a stranger, you know, just like kind of like seeing, because we often live behind the space of an invisible no, where like on the other side is, you know, full potentiality, connection, expansion. And I think you really so beautifully get the opportunity to play in those spaces with people, and like, it's beautiful. It feels like the juice, like of the human fruit tree. I don't know, the sweet nectar of the human tree. It's a not a great analogy.
Forbidden fruit, tree of the forbidden fruit.
Archetypes is just such an interesting concept. I love archetypes in general, and I'm really curious with the archetypes that you've been playing with. Number one, which one is your archetype? Which one is your favorite archetype to play? And number two, is there like a certain archetype that you find is the most common, like desired archetype with your clients?
Good questions. So Mistress Damiana has on her website a quiz you can take. Anyone can take it. You don't have to be in the course. So I just thought I'd try it because I thought this already, but then I took the quiz and it proved me to be right, is that mine is the dark seductress. So there's light and dark sides to each of the archetypes that she goes deeper into. So yeah, I'm dark seductress, which is like, yeah, I'm like a Catwoman type of vibe. Like that's what I always really saw myself as. I love Catwoman, like as far as comics go. And yeah, that's what I feel like I've always kind of just naturally embodied. Although, so we do these things called fish bowls where we have to dominate in front of the rest of the class via Zoom. So I got a lot of really good feedback from my queen fishbowl, and everyone made me feel like it was like, yeah, that just was so natural for you. So I feel like when it comes to domination, I can see that I have a lot of the natural like queen and dark seductress energy. But in my day-to-day life, I feel like if I have anything, it's more the mother. Like that's just what is always present. So it's just been really interesting to notice those things about myself when I step into the dom mode. I just call it dom mode. how I shift.
It's interesting with the psychology too with that, because yeah. You're like, maybe it's you're the most comfortable in the mother role because that's what's most widely accepted in our culture. And the dark feminine, the dark enchantress or the queen it's like a more of a fairy tale, playtime, fantasy role that this dominatrixing allows you to really tap into.
Yeah. Or like the mystical land that I get to play
in. Yeah. But it feels like all these roles are like within us, right? Like we can tap into them and we're just changing the dials. And like, this isn't my analogy. To be honest, I used to be in the acting industry. I think I might have shared that with you. But I was watching an interview with Meryl Streep and they were like, how do you do it, Meryl? Like you're playing all these roles and they're so dramatically different. Like we can't even recognize your face. Like it's like you are just go from black to white, day to night. You have such a range. And she was like, well, they're all me. She was like, I literally like changed the dials. Like all of these characters are within me. And I just thought that was so powerful, right? She's not like resisting, she's radically accepting that she's everything. And she just gets to like embody it, conjure it, toy with it, witness it, love it. And that, like, I really feel like you're also in a very, like, similar space, right? Like, where you're like, okay, I'm going to, like, turn up the dial on the queen. I'm going to turn down the dial on the mother for this particular experience and really play with those dynamics, which is so hot and so fun and so beautiful.
Right? Absolutely. It's just so nice to, like, be able to, like befriend my shadow and just feel like it's actually okay to be a sexual being as a woman and you can still be really powerful as a sexual being a woman. And it just is like shattering all of the shame. Still, there's still plenty of work to be done, but over these last few years it's just shattered so much of the shame that I've had around my sexuality and being a very sexual creature.
We're like, there's nothing wrong with we're that. Literally built of orgasm, right?
Yeah,
we're made
yeah.
Before we go into a new question, I just wanted to also hear your answer for, is there an archetype that's the most desired from your clients?
Yeah, so the way that I work on the camming site, it is through, it does get, basically we're all cam girls on this site, which means we are sex workers on camera. That can mean anything. You can be doing what I do as a dominatrix, and I don't ever show anything below the belt. Sometimes I show my tits, but I would do that out in the streets anyways. Like, it's not a big deal. To, you can go from that, what I do, to girls that are doing all the things that you would see in a typical porno. Because all of us are on these sites, it means that a lot of the guys coming to the site are usually looking for that more porn type of feel, because you can still look up femdom, which is female domination, on porn. So through the site, I tend to get a lot of guys who want more of the seductress, because she's more hypersexual, like, you know, it's just more in your face, the sensual side of the domination play. But then with that, they also, then I'd say the second would be the authoritarian, because a lot of guys these days on the site seem to want like a bratty energy or bossy, like bossy bratty energy. And yeah, it's just, it's really interesting, because what I'm learning from my mentor, like the subs that she's worked with and submissives, like the kind of old school style is like, they're just, they're like the true submissives that we all kind of want. I can't say we all, but I think most pro doms want that kind of submissive versus the guys who really are just kind of there to, yeah, get more of a show in a more seductressy sexual way. But I do have two clients that I work with outside of the site, and they enjoy all of it. One of them weighs much more heavier in the authoritarian side of things. And yeah, but they really like the whole dominatrix archetype, which is nice for me, because I like that too. I like to play with each of them and not just kind of have to be more heavily in just the seductress all the time. It gets boring for me. Yeah.
Sharing all of that, and I'm sure there's just so much psychology around each of the archetypes and what these people have experienced in their childhood and why they crave that certain female presence and what they're seeking too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do want to share, because I know this, my work is virtual, but I did have my first in-person experience in Berlin. Not at Kit Kat.
At Insomnia.
Yeah. So in that dynamic, I felt like he liked the full dominatrix archetype. He was a real good submissive, but he's really good with like the mother stuff too. And I felt, that felt really good to be able to do the, you know, the aftercare and all of that in person with someone, because usually I do it virtually and it's just not the same. You can't see them and feel their energy right in front of you, like, yeah, you can't like hold them, you know, like cradle them like a baby. And so yeah, that was really nice to experience.
I mean, I acknowledge you for stepping into that space, like you're entering a new dimension and a realm in this. You're such a powerful force, and yeah, I'm so deeply grateful for you. And you know what's coming through, I have so many questions coming up, to be honest. And like after we parted, I told you this, I was like, I could talk to you like for years about this. Like I have so many questions, and everyone does. Like as soon as it's so funny, I don't think I shared this with you, Alfina, but I was with Kaya at this coffee shop, and a girlfriend of mine messaged me, and I was going out with my, like, this amazing woman. She's a dominatrix. She's like, I'm coming there. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Wait for me. And I was like, what? And she's like, I have to ask her questions. Like, don't go anywhere. And I was like, oh my God. Like, people were like rushing, because I mean, our sexuality has been so suppressed, and it's been such an avoided topic that like, as soon as someone is living an embodied lifestyle in that space, it's so intriguing. It's magnetizing.
And it's like, there's such a profound space of curiosity within it. I feel like I might have asked you this, but I would love to circle back about it. Like, we talked a lot about like what you love about it, why you got there, like how great the money is. But I would love to hear like a little bit more about the shadow side of it, and like what is maybe the biggest challenge that you face, or like the dark side of this type of work.
So again, to emphasize the way that I work on the site and the kinds of people that I encounter, and that it's all virtual, the dark side to this work in this way is that I do deal with a lot of keyboard warrior type of guys that come in, and they will say some very nasty things. And these are not clients. They're like nowhere near being potential. Do you guys have a chat?
That fell off the wall, like right as you're talking about the dark side.
True. Have you put your protection? Oh, okay. So this actually goes hand in hand with what we're talking about. But to deal with these energies that come into my room and say some nasty things, before I stream, I put a protective bubble around myself of blue, purple, and gold light. It's my more like a shield, not a bubble, because a bubble can pop. So I put my shield on myself, and then I put it also in front of the camera, so it's like double power. Because yeah, it's huge. Like before I was doing this, like putting my shield on and everything, I hadn't even really thought of it. I just felt like my house was starting to feel, and my house back in Australia is so brightly lit in the living room, but it was just starting to feel like dark. And then some friends came over, because I was just in like huge depression for a long time, and they're like, yeah, you gotta start like protecting yourself, because these energies are coming right through your screen. I was like, oh my god, you're so right, I should know better, I should be doing this. So cleared out the house and all of that, and then I started doing my protection spells, and it helps a lot, because it can really do a number on your self-esteem when people are coming in. And for me, being a Black woman, they'll say really terrible things about that, use really terrible words. Some guys will come in and tell me I'm ugly, and it's like, it's ridiculous, because I know I don't feel ugly, but it will still get to you, like even if these things that they're saying aren't true. So that's like probably the darkest side to doing it the way that I do it, doing this work the way that I do it. Because it also gets exhausting too, when you're having to you're constantly presenting yourself when someone comes into your chat room, like, welcome to my room. What brings you here? What are your kinks? And striking up all these conversations. And if you end up striking up a whole conversation with someone who then ends up being just a troll, it's so, so draining. And then you have to act like you're still fresh as can be for the next one who comes in, who is probably, you know, potentially a real submissive. So just not knowing who's on the other end of the screen and what their intentions are.
Yeah, basically. Thank you for vulnerably sharing about that. Is there a way outside of energetic boundaries? And I'm so happy to hear that you're creating those, because they're so incredibly important. Like keeping your energetic space clean and protected is like of the utmost. But the way that you can like physically kick people out who are misbehaving in the room, like you have that ability, amazing. So as soon as you, like something's not resonant or aligned, you can just boot them.
Right. Exactly. You can block them. I can just cancel, like stop my show at any point in time. So the power is completely in my hand at the end of the day, which is good. Like if I'm just getting too drained, the best thing to do is step away and not try to keep pushing it and faking it till you make it. Honoring myself, that's something else that's made me feel powerful in this work, is just being able to like walk away. I could continue to sit there and make more money, because I just have that ability to log on and make money whenever I want. But I have to protect my energy before anything else. The money doesn't matter at the end of the day if I'm going crazy and just feeling down on myself and depleted. Oh,
for sure.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
Yeah. thank you. And then, if it's okay to say one more thing that is like a shadowy thing about this, it's heavy, is some people's kinks that aren't necessarily in alignment with what I enjoy playing with. I'll still try out a lot of things that I haven't tried. If I haven't tried them before, I'll try them out. But I'm perfectly okay with saying no to somebody whose kinks don't align with me, respectfully, because there's no kink shaming. But there can be some very, very dark things that people like to play with that might scare me a bit, and that I feel concerned for them because I don't fully understand that specific kink yet. Because, there's only so far that I'm willing to go where I'm, I want to have a good time too, because otherwise it's like, the money's not worth it if you're not also like enjoying it to some degree, whether it's like new and exciting and you're like, oh, I don't know anything about this, but I'm learning something, this is fun, or it's something I actually enjoy playing with. I won't go into what those kinks and fetishes are, because what's really dark for me might be light work for someone else. So I don't want to make anything sound dark and scary, depending on it. It all depends on what you're into. And there are sometimes things that people come to me with where it's actually, it's just really not okay. Things like, can I say on here?
Yeah.
Pedophilia, like, someone came to me with that once, and that was really hard to deal with, because that's an illness, that's not a kink or a fetish. So that's in the mental illness department, which I'm not equipped to deal with that kind of stuff. But at the time I didn't know, because it was within my first month or two of doing this. So I didn't know how to navigate that at all. And I obviously didn't play into it, because that felt disgusting to me. And so, but I did let that person stay in my chat room, and I tried to like divert their attention to like something else, like me and my womanly body. And, I don't know if that was the right thing to do or not, but at that time, that's what I did. And then I just was beating myself up so much afterwards, because I did the right or wrong thing. And yeah, just the things that he shared with me, his dark thoughts, it really cast a shadow over me for a while, and I had to take a break for like a week or so.
Wow, that's intense. Yeah, you're holding space for people and these really deep, dark shadows sometimes, right? That they don't feel safe to express in other spaces. And yeah, I think we all handle things the best way that we can in every given moment. That you did exactly the perfect thing in that moment for the situation. And yeah, I know that's like a really tender topic. Thank you for sharing that.
And I feel like what you're explaining too, it's almost in the realms of being a psychologist or like a therapist, and you're really like surfacing deep trauma for certain people in these spaces. And it brings me back to what you're sharing about getting this education, this certificate. I'm not sure if it was a certification. Yeah, and I feel like the importance in that, just kind of like when you're helping people, counseling them, and you go to school and you go through training and you have practice clients, and just the importance and the ethics of that. And I'm curious to hear a little bit more about how you believe that the ethics of education plays into the importance of becoming a dominatrix.
Yeah, it's huge, because you can really, like, these submissives are trusting you with things that they haven't told possibly their closest friends about. So you need to know how to work with that and empower them as well. Like, we are, as dominatrices, we are the powerful ones, and they are the powerful ones as well, for being so vulnerable and just being able to hold them safely through that and navigate playing with those kinks in ways that are not going to damage them. Like if you, you know, you might take something too far, and you need to understand how to come back from that and bring that mother archetype into, you know, kick her into gear. And yeah, there's also something that's really popular these days, which is called financial domination. And that's also something that I think it's really important when I talk about being a financial dominatrix, because I do that as well. They're the same but different. Yeah, someone can be just a financial dominatrix, but you still need to go about that ethically, because in that, I know that in that kink realm, there's a lot of addiction. Like these guys are addicted to sending their money to certain women on the internet, and just sending it to them for nothing in return. And a lot of girls hear about that and they think that it's just like, oh, so I can just go tell guys like, fuck you, you're worthless, pay me, because I, and that's not at all how it works. It's a kink just like any of the other kinks, like being spanked or having your bits tied up and all of these things. There's a way to do it that is not going to cause permanent damage. Just like I wouldn't keep someone tied up down there for more than 20 minutes, I would not tell somebody that they're a worthless worm that just needs to keep sending me money when I know that they live on, you know, 30K a year or something. So learning about the ethics of all domination are super important.
Yeah, I think you called yourself an ethical femdom, like someone who's bringing consciousness and heart and sensitivity to these spaces. And it's like, yeah, just because someone enjoys doing something, it's like to ask yourself the question behind that. Like, is this actually sustainable for them? Like you said, like, is this person like genuinely addicted to just doing this thing and it's not supportive for them and their being? I think the root of these, the root of the connections are so important, right? The root of the intentions are so important. And I think that you're also like an intention master, right? Like you have to really understand people's intention and sort, like, and sort through. It's just so fascinating to me.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, you really have to learn about each individual and what they need and can manage within that desire that they have. So I have one guy who he sends me money quite often for just no reason, and sometimes for sessions, but so I wouldn't consider him a pay pig, which is what you might call a financial submissive or a fin sub. But there are times when I know that I can demand certain amounts of money from him because he is a successful doctor. And I also, over time, have understood, without even actually talking directly about it, what his financial limits might be. Because I can just feel in the way that he's sending a text, or you have to really be sensitive to the other person. And that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to constantly be sensitive. Like, because I already am so sensitive to other people, just in the day-to-day. So then be having to be sensitive to people that are clients at the end of the day, and are paying me to take care of them, basically. Like, take care of this very precious thing that they've given me, which is their
at this though, right? Because you're so open and so sensitive and so connected to people and their hearts and what they want. And like, I think you bring a softness and a gentleness to this work that I've like never quite experienced or seen. And I just feel really grateful. You know, like I used to be honest, like live in Los Angeles, and there was a lot of, I would say, like femdomming in like a variety of ways there that I didn't resonate with, and it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. And that's just what I thought it was. You know, it was like, oh, I just want like a rich guy. I want someone to take care of me. Like, I don't really care about the connection. And I was like, it never
sat well with me and my body. And I feel like through our connection and experience, you've really opened up a whole new world of really just meeting people and honoring their desires that also happen to be yours. That's really what it is. It's like you're ultimately looking for someone to align with and connect with that share similar desires to you, right? Like that feel good to both of you.
Yeah.
And something that's, oh, I'm sorry, yeah. I can wait. Well, something we interviewed, my friend who is also a dominatrix last weekend, you guys are both having these through points of this intention of being a dominatrix is equally about serving. And I feel like that service aspect is so important when you're setting an intention, because like the other examples that you're giving about these women, it sounds like they're in it to take. And it's really, how can I get money? How can I get recognition? It's like a taking energy. And the dominatrix thing, I feel like the conception is that it's more about taking. Like the dominatrix is like, I'm gonna take, I'm gonna do. Like that was like kind of my idea of what a dominatrix was before really understanding it, talking to you guys. And what I'm really coming to understand is the dominatrix is actually there to really understand what the need, what the desire is. And they're like there to serve. They're there to truly like honor and to respect and hold space. And so it's actually more of like a nurturing feminine role. It can be, and it's like, and it's like lighter frequencies, which is something that you're really changing for this whole industry. And it's really beautiful that men and women, you know, have someone like you in these spaces to experience this alternative way of dominating that is so much more empowering for you and for them.
Yeah, totally. I had a really nice message from one of my clients today after our session. It's not the first time I've heard this from a client, but it's still feels good every time when they thank me for all that I do for them. Like they always say it in that way, like, thank you for everything you do for me, or thank you for all that you do for me. Yeah, if you could see an actual session in the session, it doesn't look like I'm doing anything for them. They're doing everything for me in the scene. I actually am doing a lot for them. So it is definitely a lot about service, and it's just the even flow of change. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a dance. Wow, I'm like just, I love talking to you so much.
No.
Really such a treat.
Same.
I have a question, unless you have one. No, take it away. I have a lot of friends who are interested. I'm asking for a friend, you know? No, but I really do. But I know a lot of women have been expressing interest in dominating, becoming a dominatrix, even if it's just like casually for their partner. And what would be your advice, and what's the first step to take? Or just advice that you have for someone who wants to step into that role?
I would say, I feel like any woman could do this, but of course not every woman wants to do it, but I think we all have it in us. It's just about developing your dominatrix self. I would start thinking about what kind of dominatrix you would want to be, first of all, in person or virtually. You can do both, of course. But just somewhere to start. And then first start thinking about how your dominatrix self is. Is she more of one of the archetypes? Is she more of like, for her honorific, is she a princess? Is she a queen? Is she a goddess? Is she a mistress? Is she an empress? There's all kinds of honorifics you can use to start, and then kind of come up with your name and what you would want to be called, and then just start feeling into like how she might be when she's presented with a submissive person who wants to serve her. What are, you know, as a dominatrix, what are your kinks and your fetishes that you would be comfortable or want to or feel excited about playing with? And then Yeah, once you've kind of felt into how it would feel for you to be in that role, in that, to let that version of you be seen by yourself, then I would probably look into some kind of mentorship. If I think that it's been really helpful for me. I've had several mentors. Mr. Stamiana is the third. So just start exploring the kinks and see what you're into, and then see what kind of mentors really work with that kind of stuff. Because, yeah, for example, Mr. Stamiana doesn't really know anything about financial domination, but I learned some stuff from Mr. Smarley, who's mainly a financial dominatrix, so I learned more from her. So, yeah, just finding somebody who you would kind of want to be similar to, learning from them, but then taking what you want from that and not trying to be just like any other dominatrix, even someone you learned from. My love.
Yeah, I feel like following what your ultimate desires are is kind of what shapes this exploration, if it's something that you want to dive into. And I know we talked about you, like, I still think that you should just do a course. I still want to talk to you more about this. But, like, I have so many friends that are interested in this type of exploration, adventure, curiosity, whether it's, like, to, you know, dominate their boyfriend or girlfriend, or to, like, actually seriously dive into this as a profession. So, yeah, I'm just planting that seed again publicly.
Thank you.
It's empowering AF, and it's really important work. And, like, yeah, it just feels like how we do one thing is how we do everything. And if there are any, like, I think if there are issues in the shadow, there's definitely issues in the light. And I feel like sexuality, sensuality, and intimacy have been in the shadow. So if you use that as a source of healing, like, the rest of your life is going to dramatically change for the better. Like, that's my belief and my experience. And I think, like, you serve as a bridge to connect those two. So, yeah, you let me know when you have a course, babe. I'll be there. That's all I gotta say. Yeah.
You. Yeah. I will definitely let the world know. It's a long time coming, but something.
I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. I see it. And I can't wait for it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your encouragement with that.
Yeah, I adore you. I'm so grateful that we connected. And I'm so happy that you exist. Go Connecticut.
Yeah. Hey. We're good.
As we're wrapping up here, maybe just giving anyone that's watched this video, like, an easy way, what's the best way for them to connect with you if they're interested in learning more about becoming a dominatrix or potentially working with you as a submissive? How can they reach you? Maybe if you feel comfortable, like, what platforms do you use? And
yeah. So anybody who is watching and wants to contact me, if you message me, send me a DM on my account here, which is Cruising with Kaya, K-A-Y-A, that then I will send you my dominatrix, all that stuff, because I am very open and vocal about what I do and how I do it, but my actual sites and my dominatrix name I keep under wraps unless people are interested in learning from me boundaries. Or working
into queen. It so hot.
we love that queen.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
Well, this has been so enlivening and really inspiring as well. And for those of you who are just watching now or have been tuning in the whole time, we're Cruising Society, and we have these taboo talks, these conversations every Wednesday with leading minds of the new earth. And it's been just so, so nourishing to talk to you. I feel your mother energy. Like, I see all the archetypes within you, but I really feel your mother energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I know. I love what you guys are doing too.
Amazing.
keep it up.
Yeah. Yeah, we're honored to have you a part of the community. And speaking of the community, we have a private online digital space to dissect these taboo topics around sexuality, intimacy, and sensuality. It's a really beautiful, safe space to feel fully seen and heard. And if it interests you to join, please message Cis Society, myself at Paging Heather, or Enchantress Elfina right here, this little cutie. And we'd be happy to talk to you more about the community. And yeah, we will be meeting here next week, same time, same place, with a different leading mind. And again, Kaya, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you, for your light on this planet.
And pioneer, yeah. You truly are a pioneer.
Yeah.
And you're not only empowering and serving all the people that are coming into these rooms with you, but like so many of us as women who are like, I want to do that, I can do that too, and this is how. So I'm really excited to see what's to come of that and how you can really help women to step into the, more of their embodiment and sexual and sensual empowerment too.
Yeah, the ripples are infinite.
Yes.
Yeah, truly, you're welcome and thank you. We're Cis Society. We're so happy that you joined us. Kaya, we love you. I love you, Alfina. Thank you for being here. We're going to be at Hedone all week, so we'll be probably offline in the space. Check out Hedone. It's an incredible sensual movement. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week. And we love you all. Thank you for tuning in. And yeah, have a beautiful evening, afternoon, morning, wherever you are. I'm not sure of like the time zones and frames, but we're in Europe right now. Yeah. So it's almost 12 a.m.
And you can watch the full...
Yes.
And you can watch
the video.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 6 p.m.
We're both like dominating. It's my turn now. I was just going to say you can watch this whole delicious download on our profile under our highlights if you're just coming in now. Don't worry, it's all there. And then please close us out with what you were going to say.
Oh, it's not important. It was what I was going to say. It's almost 6 p.m. Wow. Where I am.
Enjoy your breakfast.
But yeah.
Okay. 6 p.m. 6 p.m. I know it's dinner time.
Yeah.
Didn't you say breakfast?
It was a joke.
Oh, like,
you're
so
early. This is a terrible joke. Anyway.
This is dad joke.
This is my dad joke.
I'll go have
anyways, love you.
Dinner.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Love you.
Bye, babe.